Well, hello. How you doing, everybody? Welcome to the show. Welcome to your Faux Friday, Thursday morning, right here on Sports Radio, TSN 1200. We are so glad you're along for this 29th day of July, 2021. Simmer continues his holiday. JR and Hammer with you for hour one. Michaela Schreider will jump in after 7 o'clock to join us for a couple of hours. Busy show on the way, as it always is, including a visit with our TSN hockey insider, Dave Poulin, who will probably be exhausted after spending 7-8 hours on the TSN free agency frenzy desk yesterday. And what a day it was. We'll get into some of the details coming up in just a few minutes. And, of course, throughout the morning, certainly welcome all of your reaction to all of the news from yesterday. But first of all, let's give you the forecast, because we got a long weekend coming up, and perhaps you might have plans. So let me have a look here. All right. For today, cloudy. Looks like some showers will develop maybe around lunchtime. And we'll have pretty much off and on rain throughout the rest of the day. Afternoon, evening, even into the overnight hours for the showers. So that will start in and around late morning, early afternoon here in Ottawa. 22 degrees will be the high today. Tomorrow, cloudy, 18 for the high tomorrow. Long weekend outlook. Saturday, cloudy. Sunday, showers. Sunny for holiday Monday. There we go.
For holiday.
Yeah. You know, it's fairly typical. I don't know about you guys, but fairly typical when my wife and I go away for a weekend, a long weekend or whatever. It's always sunny on the day we're driving home. If you go anywhere that's kind of out of town or whatever. So that's the way the long weekend is shaping up right now. Doesn't mean things can change. Like, for instance, now that's the Environment Canada forecast I'm giving you right there.
Give me the better one.
My weather app on my phone, which I tend to rave about quite a bit, suggests that tomorrow and Saturday actually will be sun and clouds. So that's a more optimistic forecast.
Well, what one are you using? Because
Environment Canada.
Environment Canada. Yeah. But what's on your app? Is that the Weather Network? Is it just AccuWeather?
I have no idea. It's the weather app
on my
phone. The
standard app that came on your phone. Yeah. Gotcha.
Which is actually very good because it breaks the weather down by the hour, and it's usually pretty accurate. So hour by hour. Anyway,
well, there let's you stick go. With that one. Whatever one has this, has a call for some sunshine, let's go with that, because it's another busy weekend of four more baseball games, and then on Monday needs to be pretty nice as well. And you've said it's going to be sunny, as that's the day that I'm taking the oldest out to a Jays game for the first time in 2 years. Back out to a Blue Jays game.
So you're doing a baseball thing in Toronto. Your baseball's in Toronto.
In Toronto.
So you really need the weather to be good, because there's nothing worse than driving for 4 hours for a baseball game to have it rained out.
Or have it indoors with the dome. Oh, I'm talking about a Jays game. Like, we're
no,
going
no, I'm,
out.
No, I'm talking about your kid, first
oh,
of all.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah. No, those are home games. That's the good thing. At least we're home this weekend.
Oh, you're home and you're
Saturday
driving
and Sunday,
to Toronto for a baseball game?
And then
game?
We're driving to Toronto on Monday. We're doing one of those great there and backs.
Oh, my God.
For a Blue Jay game.
Wow, more power to you.
That's his birthday on the following Wednesday.
Okay.
August 4th, so this is what he wanted. I was lucky enough to get in the queue there and grab some tickets.
Hard to get tickets.
But I don't want the dome to be closed.
No, the dome is bad at the best of times.
Yeah, the dome closed. It's a really close comparison to Tropicana. It is just a boring gray
concrete
pit
mass
of despair.
Yep.
So I need the dome to be open. I need the sun to be shining and to enjoy.
So this is the Blue Jays' first home games. They actually will start
Friday,
for the first time since, 2019? Last games of 2019. Crazy. It'll be almost two full years since the Blue Jays have played a game in Toronto. Hence the reason the tickets were rather popular. So good for you for getting in. Now, they play in the Royals all weekend?
Indians on Monday.
Okay.
Indians on Monday.
Guardians.
Well,
not yet, I guess.
Next year.
Yes. Okay. So
but
you
I'll
call
still
them
call the, them the Indians next year until I get used to it.
Call them the Cleveland baseball team.
Yeah. So yes. For Jack for that. We're looking forward to it. We can't do what he always loves to do and what he has a knack for, and that is get there a little bit early for a little BP and try to either holler at the players to toss them up a ball.
Yeah.
Or actually catch a home run ball.
You're not allowed to go in for BP?
I'm not too sure strictly of the rules. I do know, though, that you can't be anywhere other than your seat or a concession stand or a souvenir shop, whatnot. You cannot be in another zone other than the zone that your seat is.
Yeah, but you could be sort of walking and yelling at the players to toss you a ball as you're walking toward your seat. They're not going to be able to police every single person that's in there.
Yeah, you're right. But as soon as you see a group of people gather, you know for sure not all of you are allowed there because it's only 15,000.
Separate yourself from the pack.
Exactly. So you got to find a little hole. That's right. You got to find yourself a little empty section that you can holler and try to get yourself a ball at.
All right, so 15,000 is the maximum for any outdoor sports event in Ontario, as the rules say right now, and we'll see that come into effect here in Ottawa. I guess the first event will be at the Atletico Ottawa home opener coming up on the 14th, and then, of course, the Red Blacks home opener is coming up at the end of August, and we'll see if the rules remain the same. So 15,000 for a Jays game, so that would be like a typical May game for the Blue Jays.
Well, it's a little bit better than that. It's the Jays not drawing 15,000.
The Jays would draw 15 for a Monday game, not a holiday Monday, for a typical Tuesday game against Cleveland in May. 15,000 would be a pretty good crowd.
Tickets sold would be around 22, but that's because a lot of season ticket holders or whatnot would not be showing up, and maybe there'd be 15,000 bums in seats, but they're not announcing 15,000.
All right. So up and down on Monday for a Blue Jay game.
Ah, that's going to be great, isn't it? Who doesn't like to ride that 401 cement highway there and back a couple of times for a total of 6 hours doing the GO train? Because there's no way in heck I'm driving all the way into Toronto.
I just hope for your sake, for anybody that's driven to Toronto on a Monday, on a holiday Monday of a long weekend, that you don't get caught in cottage traffic starting in about Belleville.
See, that's the bet. You leave early enough because it's a 3 o'clock game.
I've said that before,
too. There will not be that traffic.
I've said that before, too.
And you got caught in it.
I've been caught in it before in Belleville, where it's stop and go. Now, it's not horrendous, but it's slower than I want to be going.
Of course.
At Belleville. So, I think you should be fine. But you know what? Cottage long weekends in the summer, people going back to Toronto.
You know what? People are taking the whole week off. They're not coming back on the Monday. They're taking Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. They've got that whole first week of August off.
The game's at 3 o'clock?
3 o'clock.
Why isn't it at 1:30 or 1 o'clock?
I've got no idea.
Okay, so typical baseball game will be 3 or 4 hours. You'll be getting out of there at 7. You're driving all the way back, and then you're working on Tuesday?
And then working here on Tuesday.
Oh, okay.
Can't wait.
Okay.
I'll be bright-eyed and bushy-tailed and ready to tell you all about the experience at the Rogers Center.
Okay, so I'll mark this down.
Mark that down
Hammer
for...
Hammer will be useless on Tuesday.
Yeah, whoever is guest hosting, you might want for the full 4 hours.
Okay, all right.
And just kind of eliminate myself from any contribution whatsoever.
All right, so in other words, a typical...
Hey!
There we go. All right, let's take a break, 6:18, because we got tons to get to today. We'll get you right up to date on the Olympics. Canada's won one medal so far today, but spent a bunch of time on all the hockey news from yesterday. Free agency frenzy, and for once it actually was a frenzy. It was a crazy day yesterday with over 100 signings. And yeah, I guess the flat cap and a pandemic hockey world, man. Owners are closing up the pocketbooks. There's no money to spend. Oh, they spent collectively $569 million or something like that yesterday. It was an absolutely insane day, and it was a goalie carousel. I think at the last check there were 14 goalies that changed teams yesterday alone. So we'll get into all of that. And, of course, the Senators making some news. They made a trade. They made a free agent signing. And they extended their head coach for another 2 years as well. So lots to talk about from a Senator point of view as well. We'll get into all of it when we return. It's a Thursday morning. JR and Hammer simmers off. Michaela Schreider jumps in the next hour. You are listening to Sports Radio TSN 1200. All right, welcome back, everybody. 6:23 on this Thursday morning. JR and Hammer with you. Michaela Schreider joins us after 7 o'clock. Don't forget, we've got our TSN $1,200,000 minute just before 8. Let's see if we can send somebody into a long weekend with $1,000 in their pocket. It's been 10 days since we've given away our last $1,000, so the jackpot is ever growing. All right, so we'll do that just before 8. Then right after 8, Dave Poulin, our TSN hockey insider, hopefully rested up after a long day yesterday. On the TSN free agent frenzy desk, there was, you kind of expected it to be busy, but I don't know that anybody expected it to be that busy. At last check, I think at 10 o'clock last night when the last of the deals announced, it was 128 signings for a collective. Let me just find it here. Let me be accurate. $586 million.
What?
Pandemic? What pandemic?
Flat cap?
Yeah. Sorry, $576 million. So over a half a billion dollars was spent yesterday by NHL owners in a flat cap world in which, you know, there weren't the revenues there typically would be last year. But everybody's still, we're just that one player away. We just signed that one guy. It's going to push us over the top.
And how many of those will owners or GMs be looking back on a year, 2 years from now and saying, wish I could take that one back?
Does it even take it that long? Does Simmer not tell the story of when he was in Washington, that was them signing, I think it was Robert Lang,
yes,
to a four-year contract. And midway through the first practice, George McPhee walks over to him and says, how are we going to be able to get rid of this guy?
That was at camp. That was months, months after signing him.
All right, well, let's start with the Sens, because that was the headline news here in Ottawa, and actually had nothing to do, at least initially, the biggest story, because they made a trade, and a significant trade, and I think that is big news. They made a free agent signing, which is of interest. But I think the biggest news for Ottawa is the fact that DJ Smith and Gord Wilson had the scoop on this yesterday, right here on the show. In fact, I think Gord said words to the effect of, I'd be looking at an extension for DJ Smith to be announced by Friday. And, well, it didn't come Friday. It's not coming today. It actually came yesterday. A two-year contract extension for the head coach. So he has one more year left on his current deal. So he'll be here, or at least signed through the next three seasons, the 2023-2024 season. DJ Smith is signed through. DJ Smith was a guest yesterday with the Ottawa media and talked about the mistakes he's learned through his first 2 years as head coach.
You're presented as a coach with, 20 different situations every day, some little, some major. And the more you're around, the better you are able to handle them. And as a young coach, sometimes you get a little more heated. You react to everything differently. And I just think at the end of the day, the best coach is a guy that can be the calmest and have his team play with energy and play hard every day. And I think you see some of the older guys, they don't react as much, and they have more solutions.
There you go. There's DJ Smith talking about what he has learned over the past 2 years as head coach of the Ottawa Senators. And, of course, I think we saw the best of DJ Smith and the best of the Ottawa Senators in the last half of this past season. Now, is that going to be a harbinger of what's to come? He talked about the fact of that the start to last year was terrible, and also the fact that there was no pressure on the team in the second half of the year, so don't overread too much into how the team performed. The pressure will be on them to begin this coming year, because now there are expectations, both internally and externally, from a fan base which is hungry to see some wins. So the pressure will be on the team right from the start. The man who had a hand in giving DJ Smith his extension is general manager Pierre Dorion, and he spoke about what message the signing of Smith to an extension has.
DJ has shown through his 2 years with us he can deliver. His mandate was to develop the younger players at a pace where the organization could have success. He has done that. He's a fantastic communicator. We play hard. We play with energy. He's created a great culture, a culture that's going to allow us to win in the future. His work ethic is second to none. He's one of the first ones here every morning. He's got great attention to detail, and he's very deserving of this extension.
What message does his signing send to the room?
What kind of message? It sends a huge message to the players. They know DJ's in charge. They know DJ's going to be here for a long while. You've got to play the right way. You've got to play DJ's way. You got to work. You got to come here in shape, because the practices are going to be hard. DJ's already talked to the players. This year's training camp will not be as much about systems. It will be about skating, skating, and skating. And we're going to be ready when the puck drops against the Leafs for a home opener. I think it's October 14th. So I think it just sends a message that we've got our coach. He's been our coach for the last 2 years. Most likely he'll be coach for the next 4 years. And you better, by his his demands, his work ethic, and the biggest part of this is that he's so well respected in that room.
And I just,
I think players can like a coach, players can dislike a coach, but when you have the respect of your players as DJ does, I think that says a lot, and they know that he'll be here for the next 4 years.
All right, so there is Pierre Dorion talking about the extension for DJ Smith, and there is one thing that you shouldn't doubt. DJ Smith is very popular among the players. Popular in terms of they like playing for him, and you can see that they play for him. That was evident last year, both in the way they played, the wins and losses, but also with the energy that Pierre Dorion referred to, and DJ Smith has referred to as well. That this is a team, and I think maybe the most encouraging sign of anything that happened last year. We always talk about the importance of a team having an identity. What is your identity? And teams that struggle with an identity. I don't think there is any doubt whatsoever. And I'll give credit to Pierre Dorion as well, in both in terms of how they're building the team, but in for DJ Smith and how he's coaching the team, there is no doubt the identity of the Ottawa Senators. Of that you can be sure. There is a template that's been set here in Ottawa, and in the short term, I think it's encouraging. But now the expectations begin. It's been a free ride up until now. Last year was, even with how horrendous the first 15 games of the year were, with two wins, there wasn't a mass call for firings and, you know, trades or whatever. There was, from the fan base, because they'd been living through that already for 3 years, it was kind of like, oh, we're going to get more of that, are we? And then as the team turned the corner, then people started to look at it and go, okay, we're starting to see some of the plan coming together. But now the hard part starts. Now the really hard part starts. Now you've got some of the pieces, but now the expectations have been set that this year will be maybe not necessarily still a playoff year, but a year in which you are a good team that is on the rise, that maybe, if all the pieces fall into place, can contend for a playoff spot. But expectations will be higher. So this is where the pressure begins.
I think part of the reason the players respect DJ Smith so much is because he has stuck to the philosophy of earning your ice time. And we saw that, as you mentioned, last season. The start was horrible. But that's because he didn't hand out ice time to every young player that they had in the lineup. That was something that we've heard all last offseason. All now is earning your time. And those kids earned their time. And that's when you saw this team turn a corner last season. And I think as long as that philosophy continues, earning your time, the respect will continue to be there. And the biggest thing for DJ Smith, I think the biggest compliment and why he got this extension, is the fact that the young players have gotten better. And that's what you need in a rebuild. If your young guys aren't getting better and aren't playing and aren't reaching expectations, well, then you don't have a hope in heck, and you don't have a hope in heck in keeping your job. And DJ Smith has done that, and there's no reason to expect them to stall at all this coming season. You're hoping that they reach that next level. That comes along with those expectations and how they handle those expectations, and that is the next step for this team.
All right, so what's interesting me about the news of yesterday, and again, Gord kind of tipped it that it was going to happen, so when it happens, wasn't totally shocked, because we knew that DJ Smith and Pierre Dorion were both going into the final year of their contract, and we've discussed that throughout the offseason. So DJ Smith gets his contract extension. And Pierre Dorion, also during his media availability yesterday, was asked in French, and then it kind of circled back and was put to him in English. And he essentially said that, and this part I did not know about his contract status, is that there is a team option, in other words, a Eugene Melnyk option, of another year on his contract after this coming year. So he expressed no concern over his status. It seems a bit odd to me, and maybe it's just me, that you've got a general manager in Pierre Dorion, and this is his second coach, because Guy Boucher was the first one, fired him, hired DJ Smith, says he is extremely happy, and you heard how he talked about him. I don't think there's any dispute about that. He's a huge fan of the work of DJ Smith. But they're tied together now, right? The plan has been put together with DJ Smith as the coach and Pierre Dorion as the architect of it. You could argue whether the plan is evolving in the right direction. I think it is. It's maybe taking a little bit longer than people hoped, but we had no idea how long it was going to take. That being said, the two of them are tied together. One of them gets a contract extension and one of them doesn't. That to me is it's a bit curious. I'm not sure if I'm Pierre Dorion how exactly I would feel about it. Eugene Melton, in the press release that went out yesterday about the DJ Smith hiring, was full of very, very glowing quotes from Eugene Melnyk about his head coach. Where's the extension for the general manager, right? He's the guy that went to Eugene Melnyk in the first place and said, we got to blow it up. Here's my plan. The much ballyhooed plan. And he was given the okay and the nod to, okay, blow everything up. Let's start from scratch. And so now we are entering, what is this, year five, I guess it is. Well, the first year was the bad year. And then, so this will be year four of the rebuild, right? It's been a long, long commitment, both in terms of the owner, the team, but also the fan base and everybody involved. The architect of the plan, and I think it's unfolding probably as he wrote out, you know, in terms of timelines. And right now he doesn't have a contract extension and the coach does. That to me is a bit odd.
I can't speak for Pierre Dorion, but I can speak for myself. If I was in a situation similar where people around me are being hired and people around me are getting extensions and I'm announcing these hirings and I'm announcing these extensions and I don't have one, I would feel really uncomfortable and be wondering why. I understand that there's a team option for next year and that he still has a contract for this and next. But if we're handing out extensions and we're trying to continue this rebuild and we're rewarding people for the successes, as mild as they are now with the bigger successes hopefully yet to come, I'm not feeling too good. And that's just me.
Yeah.
I'm not feeling good.
I agree with you. You use the word uncomfortable.
Putting him in a really weird situation.
It is. It's an awkward spot. He comes out yesterday and he talks very glowingly. And again, I don't think he's making any of it up about his coach. He loves DJ Smith. Talks about that. Hey, congrats on the, I can imagine the conversation behind the scenes. Hey, congrats. Here's the extension. Way to go. You really deserved it. And meanwhile, so you walk out of the room and you're kind of thinking to yourself, well, hang on, I'm a part of this as well. Where's my extension?
Exactly.
Where is the public confidence from the owner in the work that I've done? I put the plan together. We've executed I can't be disingenuous because I think the blowing up the team is the easy part, right? Trading off your superstars, everybody wants Mark Stone and everybody wanted Erik Karlsson at the
time.
Pretty
easy.
Right? That's the easy part. The hard part is actually turning the rubble into a new home, of which it's under construction still. But I think we can all agree at this point, it seems like it's headed in the right direction. Have there been some missteps along the way by Pierre Dorion? Absolutely. 100%.
It's not going to be perfect.
And it's never. No general manager is perfect. You're right. And they all make mistakes. It's really how big are your mistakes is actually the important point, right?
And you can get rid of some of those mistakes.
Yeah, exactly. And we saw that last year, right? There were mistakes in some of the players that were signed last offseason. There is no doubt about that, right? But at least there weren't, for the most part, long-term contracts for those players. So, they came, they played, they weren't any good anymore, they got rid of them, or they just left. Their contract expired. So it was an experiment, and for the most part, did not work. Even Evgeny Dadonov, right? They signed him. I thought it was a good move at the time, with only 3 years, which is kind of my max for a non-core player. The dollars, him coming off what he'd done in Florida, I thought that's pretty good. Well, it didn't, for whatever reason, it didn't work out. He wasn't a very good player here. He was able to wriggle off the hook and trade him yesterday to Vegas and didn't have to retain any money. That's crazy. When I heard that deal, I was like, oh, I wonder how much money Ottawa's going to have to keep. None? Wow. And they get back a guy who's on the last year of his contract.
And that
Nick
can help.
Right. It can help a little bit. Maybe you can flip him out of the deadline and get another asset for him. And you got a third-round pick. So I thought that was a really strong deal for Ottawa. And that's even if Dadonov goes and scores 25 goals in Vegas.
It was still a good deal.
Wasn't working for him here in Ottawa for whatever reason. So all that to say, there have been some missteps by Pierre Dorion, but in terms of what he went to the owner with initially, which is we got to blow it up, and here's the plan of how we're going to do it, and then executing the plan, I got to give him a passing grade for what he's done so far. So if the coach is getting rewarded for what he has done, again, I would have expected, and my thought was, heading into this offseason, when we've talked about this topic of coach and GM are both going into the last year of their contract, I expected both. We were going to have an announcement at some point, if it was going to happen, an extension, that both of them were going to get an extension, probably the same day, or neither of them was going to get an extension and they're going to go into next year. And I don't agree with this, but go into next year and it's like, okay, guys, you're on the clock now.
This was going to be a make or break season for both of them.
Exactly. But instead, they've kind of split it in half, and it's kind of like, DJ, you're doing good. Pierre, yeah, we'll wait and see on that one. So that one to me was...
It's just a really uneasy feeling, and I'm with you. If DJ Smith is getting an extension and getting a reward for the good work that he has done, and he has done good work, I like what Pierre Dorion has done so far with this team, with the help of Trent Mann, his whole team together, of bringing in young talent, young stars, starting from the bottom, working them through Belleville. It's working. It's happening. This year is a big tell for the team. But for DJ Smith to get his extension and for Pierre not, it's left me pretty confused.
Yeah. And again, they have a team extension beyond this year. I always find it a little bit dangerous, though. A little bit when you have the architect, in this case, a general manager of any team going into the final year of his contract, where the thought might be, right, Pierre Dorion is now going into this season going, well, it's a team option. So in other words, at this point, I don't have a contract for beyond this year. How am I going to get a contract for beyond this year? By having the team either be at minimum at expectation, whatever that may be, or beyond expectation, then I'm going to get a contract extension. How am I going to get them to perform above expectation? Maybe I need to give them a little bit of a nudge. Maybe I need to make a trade. Maybe I need to, you know, strip away a little bit of the future for the here and now, just to make this team a little bit better, right? That's always the worry, and I'm not saying that would be the case with Pierre Dorion. But that would always be the worry for me when your general manager is in the final year of his contract.
Exactly. What happens if they come out this season and they start off 2-8? And here you are as the general manager with a team option. So it's not your option.
Nope.
It's all about if the owner wants to bring you back and then sign you to an extension. So the pressure's on you now to try to do something to turn the start around. A start to a year where you've got some, hey, we're going to battle for a playoff spot. That's the expectation for this coming season. So what could actually happen this year that you would decide, all right, Pierre Dorion, you're not the guy. You're not the guy after what you've done the previous 4 years. Now what's going to happen this year that tells you, all right, you're not the guy? Because if it's the play on the ice, well, the coach has a lot to do with that.
Mm-hmm.
And there hasn't been a lot of changes made. You brought in a couple of defensemen,
mm-hmm.
right, from last year, different from last year. So what's going to happen this year that's going to make you think Pierre Dorion is no longer the right guy to steer the ship, the good ship Senators? I don't know.
Well, there's a couple big contract negotiations to happen this summer, the biggest being Brady Tkachuk, but Drake Batherson as well. So how are those stick handled? But in some ways, that is a bit outside of his purview as well.
Exactly.
Right? That is, you know, Brady Tkachuk in particular, he holds a lot of the leverage in all of this. Brady Tkachuk will sign for as long as Brady Tkachuk wants to sign for. If the team wants to sign him for 8 years and he only wants to sign for 3 years, he's only signing for 3 years.
What can he do?
Right? If he wants to sign for 8 years, you're going to have to give him 8 years. That's the bottom line. And you know, both scenarios, I think, are equally plausible. So,
and no other GM is going to change the mind of Brady Tkachuk. It doesn't matter who is running that negotiation. If he wants three, he's going to get three, and he's not going to sign anything else. So that I don't put the blame on Pierre Dorion for that or whatever the contract that they come up with. So that just makes me wonder why. Well, why are you just letting them fly in the just
twist in the
twist
wind?
Twist in the wind. Yep. Exactly.
Yeah. There may be method behind the madness. There could be a contract extension announced today. I thought that if it was going to happen this summer, I thought it would be the both of them, and I thought it would be on the same day. And I was kind of like, we're happy with the work, the organization, where we're at as an organization, both with the general manager and the coach. So here we go. They have showed a vote of confidence the owner has in the coach. So far, there is not a vote of confidence for the general manager. That's the bottom line in all of this. Now, it may happen, but it sounds like what's going to happen is that this coming season will be a prove-it-to-us year for Pierre Dorion. And again, when you're in the final year of your contract, it's a dangerous game to play.
And I guess I'm just going to say that I don't think it's fair that it's left up to one person. One person is the one right now that looks to be a possible scapegoat if this next season doesn't go as planned.
Well, I don't know about that. I mean, you sign up for the job.
You do.
You're the architect of the team. If the team doesn't, if you're the architect building the house and the house falls down, ultimately you answer for the house.
But you put that light on him right now. There's no other spotlight on anybody else in this organization other than Pierre Dorion because he doesn't have the extension.
All right. I'm smelling a web poll question here. We'll need to take a break to kind of ponder what it should be. But DJ Smith has his contract extension. But Pierre Dorion does not, at least at this point. So that was news number one, I think, of the day yesterday. But certainly the trade of Evgeny Dadonov was big. And the signing of Michael Delzato, while not making headlines around the rest of the NHL, still interesting in how the defense is coming together here in Ottawa. And what does he and Nick Holden, both of a couple of left-shot defensemen being added to this team, mean for the futures of specifically Eric Brännström and Victor Mete? That's very interesting as well. So we'll get into that discussion with you throughout the rest of the morning. We certainly welcome your thoughts. As always, on anything we chat about, you can text us at 12-1200. You can tweet at us at TSN1200. We always keep the phone lines open as well at 750-1200. Good talk hockey on July the 29th, isn't it? You're listening to Sports Radio TSN 1200. Hey, Aaron Hammer. Simmer continues his holidays. Michaela Schreider will jump in after 7 o'clock this morning. Got a ton of hockey stuff to go through throughout the morning. Dave Poulin, our TSN hockey insider, fresh from 8 hours on the free agency frenzy desk yesterday. But he's had a good sleep, so he'll have some strong opinions when he joins us after 8 o'clock this morning. All right, we spent a bunch of time in the last segment talking about the extension for DJ Smith, the lack thereof of general manager Pierre Dorion. More on that and more your reaction to it coming up. The Sens did make two moves yesterday on free agency day, and with all due respect to Michael Delzato, that is, in the entire scheme of everything that happened yesterday around the NHL, that would be considered a minor deal, but still an interesting deal for Ottawa. But I would say the two player personnel decisions made yesterday, the bigger one was the trade of Evgeny Dadonov. He goes to the Vegas Golden Knights in exchange for defenseman Nick Holden, who is 34 years old, going into the final year of his contract. He will make, in terms of cash, $1.4 million this year. And Ottawa also gets a third-round draft pick. So it's Holden in the third for Evgeny Dadonov. No salary retained, which I think is shocking that the Ottawa Senators were able to get rid of Evgeny Dadonov's contract and not have to retain any money after he had an average season to below average year here in Ottawa. And Pierre Dorion went through yesterday when he was talking about it, of the extenuating circumstances. But to be quite honest with you, those were circumstances in terms of it's a pandemic, his family wasn't here.
Wife was pregnant.
14-day quarantine. Man, you could probably write a list 100 deep of guys in the NHL dealing with similar circumstances. Not that I don't have sympathy for it, but that's what you're signing up for it. And you know what? You're paid to perform. And he didn't perform last year. Now, can he bounce back next year in Vegas on a better team? Maybe. 32 years old, though, so maybe not, I think, is probably the better option. But the fact that the Sens, they owed him $11.5 million in cash over the next 2 years. They get rid of that. They don't have to retain anything. And they're bringing in a guy who makes $1.5 million. So essentially, the Sens traded $10 million yesterday. And I know everybody's going to say, well, that's what it's all about. It's going to stick the money in their pocket or whatever. Well, this is money that can be used as far as either acquisitions or, more importantly, signings, either as part of this summer, Tkachuk, Batherson, a couple of others that are still out there, or into thinking about next year and beyond. Like Josh Norris, I'm going to bang this drum. Josh Norris is eligible for a contract extension this summer. He's got 1 year left in his deal as an RFA. Played his first full year last year in the NHL. To me, the guy looks like, at worst, a top two center in the NHL. And with the Ottawa Senators, he may be a number one center. And I think he's going to score 25 goals a year, 30 goals. He's a good hockey player. You got a chance to lock him up with a longer-term extension. I mean, Brady Tkachuk is his own thing. As I said, he's deciding how long he's signing for. I think if you went to Josh Norris right now and offered him a long-term extension, you got to be smart about it, but like 5-6 years, 6 years, I guess it would be, 5-6 years, you may pay more in the short term, but you may gain advantage in the long term. So these are the types of things that the money saved yesterday could go toward.
What impressed me most about Josh Norris' season last year was two things. A, he was not very good in the faceoff circle. He worked on it, and he got better as the season went along. And just overall, the man never slowed down. He just improved every single game.
And typically an NHL rookie.
Yeah.
As the season goes on, you hit a wall.
You're going to drop.
Yeah.
And for a season that was last year where it was shortened season, but compressed schedule in terms of amount of games, they played a lot of games in a short amount of time. And he just continued to improve and elevate his game step by step. And that shot that you can see right now on the power play, I guess it's kind of what you expected that enough to be a little bit. And he showed it off. And so that is a player I don't know. He's 1A and 1B of the players that I most look forward to seeing next season.
See if there's another jump.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Really curious.
Yeah. No, I agree. I agree with what you said. And that was maybe the most surprising thing to me about Norris last year was I expected him to hit that wall at some point, and he never did. He kept improving, and the faceoffs was a huge part of it, right? He was terrible to begin.
He was dreadful.
And by the end, and not just like the last two games, like the last half of the season, he was over 50% most nights. And, taking and winning faceoffs is an art. It's usually you get better with experience, and I'm talking years of experience, not weeks of experience. And there's a guy who got better at it. And puck possession is a huge part of Pierre Maguire. How many times, at least every time Pierre came on, every single day, face-off play.
Yeah.
It's a huge
possession.
Part. Yes, exactly. So if you can have a dominant face-off guy or a guy who, even just wins more than he loses, that's huge. So I am a big proponent of them looking at an extension for Norris as well while they're at the very busy summer of trying to extend the plan and get a lot of these young players extended on longer-term contracts.
And that shows me a lot of self-motivation as well. I mean, it's all well and good to want to improve your game because of outside voices, but for you yourself from the inside – wanting to improve these not heralded aspects of the game and to go and attack those aspects like face-offs, that shows a lot of your character and the type of person that you are. And those are the type of people that winning teams have, self-motivated players that take a lot of pride in their game and being well-rounded. And that's what the Sens, I think, have a lot of.
The trade from the Vegas point of view, for me, is a real head-scratcher. If you look at it, okay, Evgeny Dadonov's cap hit is $5 million. So they brought in that. Again, no salary retained by Ottawa. They also signed yesterday in free agency a backup goalie, Laurent Brossoit, from Winnipeg, who's a good backup goalie. And they needed one because they traded Marc-Andre Fleury. Brossoit makes a little over $2 million. So essentially what they did, Vegas used the Marc-Andre Fleury money to trade for Evgeny Dadonov and sign a backup goalie. That's what they... And they needed a goalie because they got rid of Fleury. So really what they did is they brought in Evgeny Dadonov to replace Marc-Andre Fleury. And I know there's only one net and you've got Robin Leonard. I understand all of that. But that to me... That's now you're starting to spin like a top, and you're going in the like what's going on in Vegas here?
And it's another winger.
Yeah, another winger, and they have holes.
Oh, another
center.
Older winger.
An older, yeah, yeah. I mean, they're a good team, man. They're built to win now. I understand they're going for it, but man alive, if this doesn't work for them, they're going to be bad sooner rather than later. Like,
and it's another one, pick traded as well. So it's another little takeaway from the future that you no longer have because they've dealt away a lot of picks. I'm with you. It's a bit of a head scratcher because I always thought that down the middle, that's what was exposed this playoff run for the Golden Knights was the lack of depth at center ice. And maybe there just wasn't a lot out there in terms of free agency that they could afford, or maybe the trade route. But
there's a guy in Buffalo who wants to be traded, yes. Who the Sabres want to trade, who everybody said, what's a team that, you know, by hook or by crook, wants to make something happen and get a center? It's Vegas. And I thought when they traded Marc-Andre Fleury and his $7 million cap hit, I thought that was to open up cap space to make a trade for Jack Eichel. And instead, they trade for Evgeny Dadonov and sign a backup goalie. Like, what the H-E double hockey sticks are you doing out there in Vegas? Like, what's going on? Like, people can complain about some of the stuff happening here in Ottawa, and rightfully so. There's been some missteps. There's also been some positive things. In Vegas, man, they're at the point now where they're chasing their tail. They're chasing their tail now, and they're trying. And it's like there's holes in the dike, and they got their hands, and they're trying to
plug them all,
and they're just creating more and more holes, and pretty soon the water overwhelms you. I think that's what's going to happen. That's my call on what's going to. They might have maybe this coming year. Be the last kick at the can, and then afterward, all of what they've done is going to catch up to them.
And I'm going to be most curious on the fan base. If the fan base sticks through the very first rebuild for the Golden Knights, because I talk about immediate success, making the Stanley Cup final in your first year, there's no better term for it. But now when you hit the road and you've got to rebuild and you start losing games, is the same enthusiasm going to be in that community for the Golden Knights that there is right now?
Want to go to the Knights game, or you want to spend another night at the craps table?
Craps.
Yeah. Yes, exactly. All right. Anyway, that will be very interesting. All right. So that's the trade. Your thoughts on that as well are certainly welcome. And we'll get into the Delzato signing, and we'll get into the rest of all the NHL news from yesterday, because there was a ton. Dougie Hamilton gets paid. Braden Point gets extended. And how about the goalie carousel? And Colorado almost... was almost like a game of musical chairs. They almost got they almost got to the end. The music stopped and they didn't have a chair. They did turn out they got a chair, but they had to pay for it. They had to pay for an extra chair to be brought in, fairly big as well, from Arizona. Anyway, we can get into all of that with Michaela Schreider when she joins us after the top of the hour. So stand by. We'll get you the latest news, run down the scoreboard for you. Canada has another medal at the Olympics. We're up to 10 now. Details on that to come. And Michaela jumps in after 7 o'clock as we roll on here for a Thursday morning. You're listening to Sports Radio TSN 1200.